Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
We are dying in a desert desolation, with springs of living water just ahead, hungering and thirsting for refreshment, when on the other side is heaven's bread. Running through the valley is a river, we can almost taste the sweetness of its peace. All we have to do is take possession, for God's provision there will never cease. God's provision there will never cease. We are the Joshua generation. Let's rise up and take a stand. At this nation's table, we are children in a kingdom of our own. We will not be touched by human forces, because we bow before another throne. We boldly bow before another throne. We are the Joshua generation. Rise up and take a stand, claiming the keys to every kingdom. We can go in and take the land. We are the Joshua generation. The power of God is in our
Joshua. Hello, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. We sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in. Thank you for your time that you give to tuning in. Thank you for your prayers, and I'd request that you continue to pray for this work. We want to be such and the work to be such that it truly be helpful to all who tune in. I believe in order for that to be the case that we need the Lord's help in everything that we do. And so we do look to the Lord for His guidance and His direction as we try to study, try to meditate, and try to consider those things which the Lord would have for us to bring. And thank you very much for supporting us with your prayers. You can tell when people are praying for you, and I know that there's a number who are praying for us as we come this way. So just thank you so much for that. It means so much, and hope that you'll continue to do so. We've had a song played as we come on. Hope you've enjoyed the good song. That's a popular artist. You may have heard of Ricky Skaggs before. I think he does a good job with that song. I felt like that Joshua Generation was a very appropriate song. It's one that got on our mind, on our heart before we came this way today. I like the message in it and speaking about putting the Lord first and doing those things which the Lord would have for you to do. And I think that that's so important for everyone to remember as we go on through this journey of life, ever how long that we might be here, be allowed to continue on in the world. I think it's important that we do indeed be sure that in the middle of all of the thoughts, in the middle of all of the statements that are made, that we keep the Lord and His cause first and foremost. I thought that was a very appropriate song and bringing that to our attention. So hope you've enjoyed that good song. We want to go to the Lord in prayer before we take up the thought that's on our heart. And then after that we pray, we'll indeed try to read some scriptures and try to address some thoughts that we've been trying to consider here over a period of time. So if it's to where you can, you'd like to join with me, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another opportunity, Lord, to come forward and to try to stand and bring Thy Word. We thank You, Lord, for granting us the grace and the mercy of God. Yea, thank You for Your long-suffering, Father, that as we come along life's journey and come short, that, Lord, that by the strength of God and by Thy counsel and support, Lord, that we might walk in such a way that we know we can't upon our own. We ask You to strengthen us and help us, Father, not that we might gain greatness in and of ourselves. We'd rather be such as serve God. And Lord, we pray that You'd remember these many needy circumstances about us. Remember those who are sad and afflicted. Remember those who've given up their loved ones. We pray, Lord, for them all. Pray, Lord, that You would grant that there'd be comfort found in time of distress. Help us, Lord, that we would be blessed with the things to say that would truly be a comfort. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us to always remember the law of kindness and grant us, Lord, that we stand in need of, that we could be a neighbor indeed. We pray, Father, for those who are lost and undone. And pray, Lord, that You'd remember those who are in need of salvation. And grant, Father, that those who have been saved would be prepared with the things to say that would truly be effectual toward those who are lost, that there'd be a turning to God. And the Father, that then turning to God, that there'd be the reality of soul salvation found. We pray, Lord, You'd bless the churches entering into revival efforts. Help us, Lord, that we might stand forward and serve Thee, our Father, that the work would be such that it'd be a blessing for many. We pray, God, today that You'd remember those who have been saved and lead them and guide them, that they might find the church of the living God. We pray that You'd bless those who You've called to preach. Bless, Father, and help us to have the things to say that need to be said. Grant us doors of utterance that cannot be closed, delivering us from harm's way. We pray again for our nation. Ask You, Lord, to forgive her where she's come short in so many ways. And grant us, Lord, that we'd have leaders who would be fearful of God and who would be seeking the will of God. And, Lord, help us. We'd know how to support them as we ought. Remember again our soldiers on foreign soil. Richly bless those who are standing in harm's way that we might enjoy freedom. We ask You again, Lord, to continue to extend the blessings of God to our country, that we might enjoy periods of godliness, and that we might enjoy periods of honesty. And thank you for this freedom and this deliverance from the fear of persecution, which that others have not realized down through time. Lord, take it now and use. Remember to use this work and guide us how you see fit. Giving us again our sins and shortcomings, and though we fail to ask, fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus, for his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We said earlier that we had a thought on our heart. We want to try to give attention to that thought. As many know who have been following this broadcast, tune in from week to week, you know that we've been addressing what's sometimes called articles of faith. And these articles that we're addressing, there are 18 of them in all. And the last time that we came this way, we took up the 16th article and addressed some points on what's called civil government. And as we addressed those points on civil government, we tried to speak on the points from the scriptures that teach us that there is no power but the power that God has ordained. And reading this article, I'm going to read again the whole article and then try to just briefly summarize what we stated last time and then read some scriptures to continue on with our thought in this article. The article says, "We believe that civil government is of divine appointment for the interest and good order of human society, that magistrates are to be prayed for, conscientiously honored and obeyed, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and Prince of the kings of the earth." Now, this is the complete article, and in reading this, you'll notice that those who that followed us this last time, we tried to come this way, you'll notice that we spoke upon the first two parts of this. It reminds us that civil government is of divine appointment, that magistrates are those who are in position of authority, that we should pray for them and conscientiously honor and obey them. And then there comes the rest of the article, which we have not yet addressed, which tells us that this is all true except only in the things that are opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's got to be a question. There's a question that must be asked right here, and that question is, how do we know what is according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is not according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is what is revealed in the Bible. It's why that we need to be Bible students. Why we need to be more than just those who ask somebody else what they think or what they think the Bible teaches. No, we need to search the Scriptures. Be like the Bereans who Paul met after he left Thessalonica. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we're told that the Bereans were more honorable than the Thessalonians in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. That, in other words, they checked what God has said and had written down, and that they would know for certain what the truth was. So let's take that attitude and that approach in considering what the will of God is. So in this article, we would want to be plain to say that nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to just oppose everything that those in leadership have forced to do. That the instructions, that all instructions are to be opposed. No, far from that, we're told to honor those in positions of authority, to pray for them, to seek God's blessings for them, and that we might enjoy the peace and tranquility that comes from order that is God-given. And we do need order and structure among men and women. And I think about the way this article is written, that these appointments are made for the interest and good order of human society. Well, we want to read an example that tells us, and I think the examples are good, to help us to see how that civil government might try to interfere with those who would conscientiously and wholeheartedly follow after Jesus Christ. Reading from the book of Daniel, we find where that Daniel was a man who had lived in captivity in this place that now it was under control of the Medes and the Persians, as we pick this up in Daniel chapter 6. And here we find something that had occurred, and we'll see how that occurred to Daniel and his response, how that it is a very good example of what the Scripture, or what this article is telling us that the Scriptures teach. So in Daniel 6, we'll read, beginning with verse 6, and it says, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." We'll stop reading here. This giving us a reading lesson from Daniel chapter 6, read from the 6th down through the 12th verse. And notice here that this report, this history, many of you who are tuned in know what occurred at this time. You know that Daniel was delivered from this state. He was indeed cast into a den of lions, but God saved him. He preserved his life through this time, being in this den with these lions. And because he passed through that, and the king saw that God had delivered him from this situation, the king turned, having delivered Daniel, he turned, and then these who had requested that he sign the decree, he had them thrown into the den of lions, and they, of course, were brought, their death was dealt out to them by these lions. Now, I find that in this is an example of how here came these presidents and all of these officials and these positions of power and authority, and they came to establish a law, make a firm decree, pass a statute. So here's an example of a law that was passed. But when this law was passed, it was passed to interfere, to come between men and God. And I find that such a decree, that it doesn't matter what type of a decree that men may make for other men, that there is nothing which will come between God and those who would follow after him. So Daniel, I think it's an important point to notice that when that he knew that this bill, this statute, this law, this regulation, ever how you want to think about it, when he knew it was signed in place, said he went to his room, he opened his window, and he prayed, and I noticed this, he prayed as he did aforetime. That means he had been accustomed to doing that. He'd always prayed 3 times a day. Probably because this was his pattern, that's why that these men in authority, having been jealous against Daniel and against his influence within the affairs there, within the government, they knew that he prayed like this. That's why that they sought this particular law to make sure that they found something they could charge him with. But the Bible here says that Daniel went as he had always done. He didn't hear that the writing had been signed, and so he thought he'd take up praying 3 times a day. That's not the way it went. Daniel just continued on serving God, praying to God, offering his thanks, as a servant of the Lord God should indeed do. And because that he just continued on, because that this decree, this law was signed, and it was a decree that went against God's will, It therefore was one that Daniel could not conscientiously follow, and therefore he refused. And just rather he chose to do what God had have for him to do rather than what men had said that he ought to do. And that's an example of how that we are to honor and obey magistrates, to obey those in authority, except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about another example. And this is out of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 5, you'll note as you read the book of Acts that there are many times when those who are in authority, that they flat out try to stop the people of God from worshiping God. And I notice an occasion when this occurred, and they charged the followers of Jesus Christ, the young church, that it should no longer worship God, that they should no longer petition God and preach in the name of Jesus. I notice the response that Peter makes. It's recorded in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" I notice how that the point was made, who should we obey? We should obey God rather than men. And here are these things. It's in these things that are opposed to the will of God. I notice how that there are other examples dealing with this. Think about in Acts chapter 4 on similar circumstances. I notice in verse 18 says this is where that a committee, a group of counselors, men in authority among the Jewish people at this time, they called the church to them. And here's what they said to them. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So I notice here that the point that this article makes is the very statement, reflects the very statement that these men made when brought before this council and charged. You don't teach in the name of Jesus. That'd be the same thing. Reminds me of the persecution under which people fled to this country originally when they left from places across the ocean over in the European countries because they could not worship God as they knew that their conscience dictated, as they searched the Scripture, studied and prayed and found that they should worship God as the Bible teaches. And because that was actually illegal in those countries, they sought freedom and sought to escape that rule, that control under which the government was trying to place them. And I believe that God heard their prayers and allowed them to come to this land. And I'm thankful today that we still have a land, still have a freedom, that people could come and to worship God peaceably according to the dictates of their own conscience. And I'm thankful today to be a part of that. And I'm glad as I consider that the opportunity that was even extended to me, that I could come and even be part of a military, be part of the military and serve time to try in some small way to contribute to ensuring freedom would continue in this land. I think about another point that's made here, speaking of how that we are to obey magistrates, accepting the things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about this, who is the only Lord of the conscience and Prince of the kings of the earth? You know, it might be asked when we say that we should indeed obey magistrates, we should honor them, we should pray for them and seek their good, except when they start opposing the Lord. Then we must obey God rather than men. Some might say, well, who is Jesus Christ that you should obey him rather than what that some judge may say or what some council may say? I'll tell you who he is. The Bible teaches us who he is. And my friend, I believe the Bible makes it plain that one day it'll be obvious to the whole world as the whole world sees him, as he comes the second time into this world. Think about where the Scriptures tell us who Jesus is in such places as Matthew 23 and verse 10. And the Lord's teaching his disciples this. He says, "Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ." So who is Jesus Christ? He's the master. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's in control. I think about another verse of Scripture over at the closing verses of the book of Matthew, when in verse 18, the Lord said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who holds all power in heaven and in earth. Think about another example in Philippians chapter 2. The scripture speaking of Jesus and how we ought to emulate him, how we should keep him in mind, follow his example. Now it comes to the place where it says this and said that he was, that God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so who is Jesus Christ? Why, every tongue should confess, every knee, everywhere should bow and confess, humble themselves and submit unto Jesus Christ. In the Thessalonians, when they accused the Christians who were among them preaching Jesus Christ, and they accused them saying this, that they come preaching that we ought to serve another, and that there is another king, this one Jesus. Well, who did these accuse the followers of Christ of teaching about Jesus? What did they say that they're teaching? They said they're teaching that Jesus is the king. In other words, he's the supreme ruler. There are indeed positions of authority in this world. Men and women who hold these positions, we should pray for them. We should respect and honor them. However, we should always remember that there is an ultimate authority, and that is the one who created these positions in the first place, and that is God. And God has set Christ Jesus as the head of all. Think about Christ when he's speaking over in the Gospel according to John. He said that God has made him judge because he is the Son of Man. One last point. Who is Jesus Christ? That we should obey him, that we should honor him, that when that rulers of this world contradict Christ, that we should obey God rather than men. Well, who is Christ that we should take this position? The book of Revelations tells us in Revelation 19, in verse 16, when the very curtains of heaven were pulled back and John was allowed to see, saw Christ riding upon his horse and said, and he had a vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is above all. And I hope today that something's been brought out that's been helpful as we try to touch on this one more time, this important subject of the civil government, and hope that you, if something has been truly helpful, that you'll thank the Lord for that, because it's to him we look as we try to study and prepare to come this way. Thank you again for tuning in. Remember to pray for me. I'll be careful to pray for you as well until we're able to come back this way again. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying that God would richly bless you and yours.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. You can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.